Tom Woods Show, episode 1850.
Prepare to set fire to the index card of allowable opinion. Your daily dose of liberty education starts here, the Tom Woods Show.
Folks, if you enjoy the Tom Woods Show, it's time to go to the next level. And next level, Tom Woods, is libertyclassroom.com. This is where my friends and I teach all the stuff you did not get in your conventional education, history, economics, and more, the way it ought to be taught, with all the content they left out or distorted. Check it out at libertyclassroom.com. Hey, folks, Tom Woods here. I got a few things to share with you today that I don't think have been widely shared. Let's put it that way. And I want to start off with something I haven't seen anybody report, was brought to my attention by somebody who wants to remain anonymous, but it's got to be talked about. I have to at least let you know about it. And I need to make clear that I do not go out of my way to start fights with other people who are thought of as being libertarian or organizations that are libertarian, unless they started with me, or unless they are grossly misrepresenting libertarianism. Then from time to time, I might jump in and correct them. But generally speaking, it's if they come after me, I respond. But I have too much to do. I don't wake up in the morning and think, who's somebody I can mess with for no reason? I wouldn't do that. But this needs to be pointed out. There are several academic papers that have been written on COVID-19 that are politically, I don't know, bonkers. I don't know what word to use, that I want to bring to your attention. And then after I bring them to your attention, I want to point out to you what they share in common. So the first one is called Save the Economy, Liberty, and Yourself: Christian Nationalism and Americans' Views on Government COVID-19 Restrictions. And it's written by three people: Samuel L. Perry, Andrew L. Whitehead, and Joshua B. Grubbs, for a scholarly journal called Sociology of Religion. And it was published at the very end of 2020. Now, as you might imagine, if you read through this, what you're going to find is a thesis like this, that more or less white Christian people are imperiling public health by refusing to abide by lockdowns, refusing to put on masks, and eating out in restaurants. And the reason they're doing all these things is they're just racist, xenophobic, religious nuts who think Jesus will protect them and they don't care about the vulnerable. It's that kind of article. It's just ridiculous, cartoonish, low IQ, stupid. It's a complete stupid waste of everybody's time. Right? Absolutely predictable. You knew somebody was going to write an article like that. Well, there it is. Now, hold that thought. Just hold that article there. Then we have, by the same three people, this article for Ethnic and Racial Studies: Prejudice and Pandemic in the Promised Land, How White Christian Nationalism Shapes Americans' Racist and Xenophobic Views of COVID-19. Now, at this point, I assume your eyeballs have gone right up to the top of your eye sockets. Now they're heading through the top of your skull at this point, because now we've got an article like that. You already know there is absolutely no point in reading that article. There's nothing to be gained from it. You know that. And then now this one. This one is written by four completely different scholars, all the way back from September 2020 for the Institute of Labor Economics, and it's called The Contagion Externality of a Superspreading Event, the Sturgis Motorcycle Rally and COVID-19. Now, this is the one that tried to claim, using modeling, not contact tracing or anything, but modeling, that the Sturgis Motorcycle Rally in South Dakota in late summer, or at least during the summer, it was August, I think, led to 250,000 cases of COVID-19. Well, that paper was so absurd that even pro-lockdown epidemiologists refuted it. There was even an article that I've referred to before in Slate saying that this is a ridiculous paper and nobody should pay any attention to it. Okay, now what do these three papers have in common? What they have in common is that each one of them was funded with grant money given by the Charles Koch Foundation. Now, you've all heard about the Koch brothers and their radical libertarians and this and that. You've heard that over and over, and they're the worst people in America and so on and so forth. Well, that's not really true. Now, there are some good things the Koch brothers have done. I will freely concede that. I've given lectures at universities where the endowment came from the Kochs, and fine with me. But there's also crazy weirdness that comes out of them from time to time. And I would say helping to fund these three papers, and if there are three papers, then probably there are 30. Helping to do that is pretty much inexcusable. Now, you could say, oh, but they were just funding the individuals involved. All right, but it takes me 3 seconds looking up these individuals to see what they're all about. Not in a million years would I fund these people, because I would know exactly what they... Plus, if I were told, here's the title of the paper we're thinking of writing, give me a grant, I'd say, go jump in a lake. And not to mention, Joshua Grubbs got some other grant money from the Institute for Humane Studies at George Mason University. I've gotten money from the Institute for Humane Studies. There's no reason this should be happening. There is no reason this should be happening, that somebody like that, writing preposterous nonsense like this, blue-pilled absurdity like this, should be getting funded by anybody, much less people calling themselves libertarians. So this is what I meant when I said in episode 1849 that there are people in the libertarian world who are AWOL during this COVID-19 matter. And in fact, in this case, it's worse than AWOL. They're not absent, they're present, and they're doing all kinds of damage by just buying into the standard line. I mean, we already have people peddling the standard line. We already have that. I don't need to hear that from some libertarian. I can just turn on the TV if I want to. I can get Keith Olbermann to tell it to me, wherever he's broadcasting from these days. I can get this from any network I want. I don't need it from a libertarian. I don't need it from a Charles Koch-funded paper. So yes, that needs to be pointed out, and I will link to those papers on the show notes page, tomwoods.com/1850. All right, now that was some bad news that I had to tell you about. But before we go on, I want to tell you something good, something happy going on in the world. And this is something created by one of my listeners. And I normally would do this at the end of the show, but I really, really want to make sure people hear about this, because this kind of thing makes me happy. There's a lot of stuff that's extremely discouraging in the world right now. This right here makes me happy. Some of you, no doubt, are familiar with somebody on YouTube called the Nomadic Professor. And if you follow the Nomadic Professor on YouTube, you see that he's a professor, but he's been hard at work beyond the classroom. He's been traveling the world. He brings on-location historical mini lectures to that YouTube audience of his. And he's traveled to almost every American state, upwards of 40 foreign countries. And what he's been doing over the past year is he's taking these on-location mini lectures and turning them into a full interdisciplinary curriculum. So he's taking history, he's combining it with logic and writing. So it's like taking an American history course from a professor who is actually all over America and the world. And so he and a high school history and English teacher partnered together and have created a curriculum that is trying to combine the rigor of a traditional college classroom with the kind of scaffolding and support that you would get in a high school classroom. So guided notes, quizzes, flashcards, document-based lessons, and more. And they've just released their first course, American History 1, to begin the world over again, from the pre-Columbian Americas to the ratification of the Constitution. They're going to be doing 4 courses in American history. And they're also going to be doing courses in Western civilization, world history, Asian history. And each course comes with 400 pages of original text, 250 workbook pages, 30-plus hours of audio, scores of on-location mini lectures. This is just a great thing. I could not possibly be more in support of this, and I'm very happy to say that the Nomadic Professor is a Tom Woods Show listener. Well, if you head to nomadiccourses.com, you can find out about these courses, and anything you pick up on the site, you can take 20% off with coupon code Woods is right about COVID. How about that for a coupon code? Woods is right about COVID at nomadiccourses.com. We'll get you 20% off. Now, not only is he a Tom Woods Show listener, but the Nomadic Professor is smart because he just promoted himself through the Tom Woods Show bump, which he gets by getting his web hosting through my link. And then at no extra charge, he gets publicity from me and tutorials and membership in my private bloggers group and all kinds of great bonuses. They don't cost a thing. You need hosting anyway. I get you a good price on that. And then I just give you all these free bonuses to help you out right out of the gate. So if you would like to get those types of bonuses for a website you've been dreaming about starting, check out tomwoods.com/publicity and you'll see what you need to do. But definitely check out nomadiccourses.com. This is a guy who goes out there and does things. He doesn't just gripe about the world. He goes out and does things. That's my kind of guy. All right, now back to griping about the world. Let me share with you now something I sent out to my mailing list. But even if you got it on the email list, it bears hearing once again. And it's actually a Twitter thread, but I just brought it all together in one text by a journalist I was not familiar with before. His name's John Hayward. And he wrote it about what he thinks of as the COVID religion. And I want you to think this over as I'm reading it to you. Think about this. I think this is really interesting food for thought and for discussions. So he says, every crisis becomes a religion if it lasts long enough. One factor in that transformation is the beautiful theory phenomenon. The power elite insists its remedies are logical and politically correct, so they must work, even if the actual evidence shows they obviously don't. When beautiful theories crash into hard, cold reality and shatter, faith is the glue used by the elites to put their precious ideas back together. They need militant faith to get the job done, true believers eager to crush doubt and compel obedience by making war on the infidels. Some are swept into the faith because they desperately crave a sense of control over the crisis. They need to believe something can be done, and they'd rather invest their faith in debunked beautiful theories than have no faith at all. Faith is a coin that demands to be spent. Some crave social approval, and the purveyors of beautiful theories have immense political, economic, and cultural power to make their faith seem fashionable. Virtue signaling is such a plague in modern society because the signals are prepackaged and made very easy to send. Some aren't even hoping they can assert control over a crisis by converting to its religion. They'll settle for just having some meaning, some simplicity, a sense that the righteous will fare better than the unbelievers, that virtue will be rewarded while sin is punished. That's a very common impulse with the Church of COVID, since the beautiful theories were so very obviously wrong. There isn't much left of the faith except the visceral communal satisfaction of hoping unbelievers will be punished for their blasphemies with sickness and death. That sort of thing happens with all of the crisis religions, although not usually as quickly and obviously as with the Church of COVID. Look at the endless stream of movies about how the world became an apocalyptic hellscape because people didn't believe in global warming. The last resort of every crisis religion, the last thing that puts asses in the pews, is that addiction to misery porn, the collective hope that unbelievers will suffer someday and everyone will admit the true faith was right all along as Judgment Day crashes down upon them. The elite will never have the humility to admit they were wrong, and they'll never give up on politically or financially profitable solutions, even when they obviously don't solve the problem. Founding a crisis religion means they never have to say they're sorry. That applies to some very long-standing crises, like the war on poverty, whose nostrums long ago transformed into fantastically expensive articles of religious faith, even as mountains of data accumulated that proved they were utter failures and often made the problems worse. You can look for some telltale signs of a crisis transforming into a religion. The most obvious one is when the high priests tell you the war you've been drafted into will never end. They become very angry when asked to define success or failure or lay out exit strategies. Watch for the moment when you're told science means not asking questions, defying dogma, or challenging consensus. That is the literal definition of faith, not science. Always keep an eye out for moving goalposts, which are the signature miracle of crisis religions, their version of parting the waters or loaves and fishes. Crisis religions work very hard to make their faith unfalsifiable by constantly changing the standards of evidence. Check to see if certain people are accumulating huge amounts of money and power from a crisis. That's a pretty good sign it's turning into a religion. A crisis should be solved as quickly and efficiently as possible. Don't let it fester long enough to become a special interest. Above all, look for the whiff of arrogance to develop around a crisis. Wise religions and effective crisis managers have something in common, a sense of humility. Crisis religions are militant faiths that quickly become arrogant, smug, and totalitarian. Dedicated people who truly want to solve a problem will look for evidence their analysis is wrong or their policies aren't working and make adjustments as quickly as possible, no matter the cost or embarrassment to themselves. This is humility. Crisis religions are arrogant. They reject criticism, insist their beautiful theories must be right because they're ideologically pure. They fit snugly into a worldview that must not be challenged. Their plans only fail because their commands were disobeyed or sabotaged. The high priests of a crisis religion see devils everywhere, leering at them from the rubble of every failure. Only sin can explain why their beautiful theories are tarnished. Failure is never their fault, so it must be yours. They find your lack of faith disturbing. And you know what? A lot of people want to see the world that way, including a great many self-described atheists. They hunger for the comfort of faith and the vibrant energy of militancy. They want to be right, and they want the wrong to suffer for their folly. Conservatives think religious faith in the state is terrifying and wonder why so many embrace it. It's because uncertainty is much more frightening. A simple false story is better than a complex true one, and with enough faith, maybe we can force the simple story to be true. And that is the end of the quotation. Now, incidentally, you will occasionally get some attempt to deal in evidence, but it's always lame and pathetic. And so, as Ian Miller puts it on Twitter, it's remarkable that the lockdown religion has gotten away with lines like, "See these four places? They're proof lockdowns and masks work," while ignoring the roughly 150 places that tried the same things and had it completely fail. Yeah, exactly. It's that overwhelming at this point. So make sure you have my ebook, COVID Charts CNN Forgot. It's just so satisfying to see it all just laid out for you. What are they going to say to this? I really, really want to know. But you will find it very helpful to have all this stuff in one convenient place. So I put that at chartstheyforgot.com. And you can also get it if you're in the U.S. by just texting the word forgot to the number 33444. Get that thing. Get that thing. It's on fire, that particular ebook. Doesn't cost you a thing. Just go over there and get it. Now, Ian, by the way, is somebody I've probably referred to at least a few times on the podcast, and I've credited him a number of times in my newsletter, as well as in this new ebook that I just told you about. He's the one who's been generating so many of these very, very important graphs. He's not the only one. There are a lot of people doing it. But doggone it, he's consistent. Day after day after day, he's evaluating different claims being made and different predictions that people have had about, well, if we change this particular protocol, then cases are going to go through the roof or deaths are going to go through the roof. So he revisits that. Well, did this happen? Did it not happen? If it didn't happen, why not? Well, this week I'm hoping to get Ian on the show and we're going to talk about some of this stuff. Every time they try to say, let's say the Super Bowl is going to cause some kind of problem or the national championship for college football is going to be a super spreader or whatever, he's got the data. He's got it from the county where they had the event, the county where they were celebrating because their team won. He's got it. He's got the nationwide numbers. Relentlessly, he won't let them get away with it. And so he needs to be followed. So that's why I wanted to get him on the show. So he's coming up this week, but I do have some pretty good non-COVID material coming up for you this week as well. So make sure and join me over in the Supporting Listeners group because the Tom Woods Show Elite discussion group is very much worth being a part of. And I just announced another private event that I'm doing for my supporters where we're gonna gather and we're going to have a nice time eating and drinking and having entertainment, stuff like that, like normal people. So I just announced that that's the pinned post in the private group. I would say that we're filling up to the point where I won't have much room left. So maybe a handful more people will be able to sign up for that event coming up May 15th. That's a private event I'm having for supporters. You can get the details inside the Tom Woods Show Elite. But if you're not able to attend that, I do hope you'll attend the 2000th episode event of the Tom Woods Show, October 16th. Of this year, 2021, in Orlando at the Rosen Shingle Creek, which is an amazing property. You're just going to love it. And I'll have a registration page that doesn't cost you anything, but it helps me if you register for it. I have a registration page up. It's being designed right now. I'll let you know as soon as it's up. So in the meantime, head over to supportinglisteners.com, become a member of that, and that will get you into the Tom Woods Show elite. All right, thanks for listening, everybody. See you tomorrow.
Become a smarter libertarian in just 30 minutes a day. Visit TomWoods.com to subscribe to the show for free, and we'll see you next time.
Like the sound of the Tom Woods Show? My audio production is provided by Podsworth Media. Check them out at Podsworth.com.